Please open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and then I want to read for you while you're turning there. I want to read three verses in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Romans 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, as I've emphasized, you know, of course, Exodus 20 is Old Testament law. All right, I understand that. But there's applications of much of the Old Testament law in the New Testament. And that's why I've been emphasizing that we're looking at not just the letter of the law as to what the Exodus 20 passage talks about or says, you know, the actual wording of it. But I want you to consider also we've been looking at the spirit of the law as we consider the New Testament applications. And as we as I've already emphasized, commands 1 through 4 is summarized in our relationship with God, loving God with all of our being. And then the last commands 5 through 10 deal with our relationship with people. One of the things I want to emphasize for our young people here tonight, notice verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, I'm emphasizing our young people tonight because that's where you learn how to do this. You learn it as a child. And I want you to consider that if a child does not learn this to honor their parents, then they will grow up to be an adult that does not honor any authority. That's why we see what we see in America today. So this is not just for young people, but my emphasis tonight is on young people so that you learn this at the age, the status that you're at now, so that it's easier as an adult. So that's not letting us adults off the hook here tonight. I want you to consider, even if your parent is no longer alive, we still have a biblical responsibility to honor them. I want you to consider here that the command is given, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, of course, Paul emphasizes obedience as one of the ways to honor, as we see in Ephesians 6. But it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Notice both parents are to be honored. Sometimes it's easier to honor one parent more than another because of their lifestyle or whatever. But I want you to consider that we have a responsibility to honor them. Notice the promise that is given, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, that's a promise given to Israel. However, I want you to consider here this promise by way of application is emphasizing that a longer life is possible because you avoid what shortens life. I want you to think about this. So if we don't honor our parents, then we live in rebellion, we might go out into drugs and alcohol. If we don't honor our parents, we might decide to take on dangerous habits like racing over 100 miles an hour down the highway when your parents have told you not to. You know, they were reluctant giving you the keys, but you raced anyway. In fact, I saw something on the Nebraska signs here recently. What was it? A teen driver plus two passengers increases the risk. As you think about these dangerous habits, but also habits that will affect health. I want you to consider here, again, the promise is, honor thy father and thy mother, even as you consider some of the principles in Proverbs that we've studied in the past. Notice the promise that is given here, as I honor my father and my mother, notice it's possible for me to live long. By the way, so if God allows a child to live a short life, does that mean that they were not honoring their parents? No, there's things according to God's will. But again, this is a general promise, a principle that God gives here, that if I honor my parents, then it's very possible that I will live a longer life. I want you to consider some Old Testament teaching. First of all, Exodus 21. Just a page or two over, Exodus 21, verse 15. Young people, I want you to listen very carefully tonight because there was a point in my life as a young person, I did not follow this command. And I was a very miserable person, and I want you to consider here that I actually could have shortened my life. I want you to consider here, it says in verse 15, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. This is how serious God considered this command. Notice at this point you're hitting a parent, they shall surely be put to death. Now, you know, they can plead insanity or they get juvenile detention and they end up in there. I want you to consider here how serious God considers this. Also, verse 17, there's another statement here. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That would take care of some juvenile delinquency. That would take care of some teen rebellion. Notice here how important God considers this. If a young person curses his father or his mother, shall surely put... By the way, that's not necessarily just using a curse word. To curse your parents, sometimes it's, I hate you! That child was to be put to death in Old Testament culture. That's how serious this is to God. Notice Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. So how do you honor your parents? So saying I love you and meaning it. That's one way to honor your parents. Obeying them, even as we'll see later. Notice Leviticus 19 verse 3. Again, commands here to Israel. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Notice this honor, this fear. Again, that's the Bible word. Fear every man his mother and his father. In fact, I believe in some ways there's times when a parent should put the fear of God in their children. You notice here, there should be a fear, and again, out of this fear comes an honoring and respect and a reverence for them even. Notice it says here in verse 32 then also of Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the gray white head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. You know, they often talk about the generational gap here in our modern day. And there's a problem with that. I want you to consider here this statement, this command that God gives to Israel. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Now, if James looks closely at my hair here, you can find some gray hairs in there. So that means you're supposed to rise up. No, I'm just teasing you. But I want you to think about this. How many times I've seen young people charge in, and like, for example, a set of doors at the store. They'll charge in ahead of somebody that's older than them. That is disrespect. I want you to consider again, God thought this so serious that he told Israel that the younger generation is to rise up before the gray head, the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man. And again, instead, there's so much disrespect that's given towards the older generations. I want you to notice here again the importance of this. Young people, I want you to listen. I'm supposed to do this as well. If there's somebody that's older than me, I am supposed to rise up in their presence. That's what God says to do with the gray head. I want you to think about this. The honor that goes from generation to generation. Also Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20 verse 9. Again, we have this emphasis here as far as the penalty. This is a law in Israel that had serious penalty. Notice it says here in Leviticus 20 verse 9, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Now, again, we don't emphasize that here in our culture, but I want you to think about the application of this. That's how serious God thought it was to honor our parents. Notice here also Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. This is just before Moses was to die, just before Joshua was to lead Israel into the promised land. This is part of the last words that Moses gave to Israel. Again, this is serious that God is emphasizing this by way of Moses at the end of his ministry. Deuteronomy 21 verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, so notice they're trying to correct him, will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, almost like a handcuff him or whatever, tie him up, and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is a stubborn and rebellious. Is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put, notice this, put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. What does God say as far as dishonoring your parents? What is it called? It's called evil. It is wickedness. Today we just pass it off as teenage rebellion. I want you to consider here, scripturally, there is no such thing as teen years. That is a modern development. I want you to consider here that as you look at scripture, up until the time they were 30, there was a time of preparation in a Jewish man's life. But again, it was all a part of this. There was no this period of time called teenage rebellion. I want you to consider if there was rebellion, it wasn't necessarily the teenage years. They were to be put to death. That's how serious this was before God. Notice also Proverbs. A couple of verses in Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Now, I want you to consider here, in our modern day, of course, our government has enabled this a little bit too, but, they now say, that young people should be a part of their parents' insurance until they're 26 or whatever, so on and so forth. Again, I'm not going to get into all that as far as the details of that, but I want you to consider here, there's also the other attitude that I can't wait to get out of this house so I can do whatever I want to. Sorry if anybody has migraines tonight, but I'm just demonstrating my teenage rebellion here. Oh, I guess I'm not a teenager anymore. So, but I want you to think about the attitude was, I felt that way. As a teenager, there was a point in my life I felt that way. I want you to consider that, and by the way, just kind of give you a clue on what CCM is. I knew I wasn't supposed to listen to secular rock. So when I was in my years of rebellion as a teenager, I listened to CCM. KDMI, I remember the station, KDMI in Des Moines. They also had the Radio Rosary and all that kind of stuff on there. So that's the kind of radio station it was. But they had hard CCM, Petra and all those rock, CCM rock groups. Think about this. I was in rebellion and I was listening to CCM. Okay, that's what CCM music is all about. It's got the same beat, the same rebellion beat as the secular music. We just kind of Christianize it with Christian words. Notice, also chapter 30. Chapter 30. How many parents have been reproached by their rebellious children? By the way, it's not just teenagers that can cause grief to parents. Notice it says here, Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation today like that. Now, as far as the New Testament, notice with me the example of Christ in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So maybe parents, or children, I should say, about their parents, says, oh, you don't know my parents. I have trouble obeying and honoring them. Okay, well, let's try being the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect child with imperfect parents. All right, so let's see what Jesus did as a perfect child. He never sinned. He did not even think a rebellious thought. I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ as a child. Notice how he responded to imperfect parents. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. No, notice this. He's so rebellious. No, that's not why he's staying behind. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. By the way, Jesus was not their only child at this point. Plus, they're traveling in a group. That's why they thought he was, present in the caravan, the company of family and other travelers. So they counted heads and then realized that they didn't count Jesus' head. It says in verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Probably a little frustrated at this point. because they didn't understand at this point what was going on. And it came to pass that after 3 days, this is a 3-day delay, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Notice small f, father. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, or didn't you know that I must be about my capital F, father's business? Notice he was serving his heavenly father. He was not in rebellion against them. He was not trying to cause them grief. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Notice this. And was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. That's like a parent saying, take out the trash. No. That's not submission. That's not being subject to them. This also is not being subject to them. All right, I'll do it, but I don't want to. Young people, when you do that, you have put God against you. Are you listening to me? When you have an attitude towards your parents, you have God opposing you. That's how serious this is. If God wanted a rebellious child to be killed, to be stoned in the Old Testament, that's how serious it is before God. That's why I want our young people to listen very carefully to this, because at this age is when you learn to honor your parents. The example of the perfect child was, I'm going to be subject to my parents. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And I want you to think about this. It very easily could have been a situation where Jesus was always doing right, but his imperfect parents misunderstood, like in this situation. He was not trying to rebel against them. He was not trying to disobey them. So again, the example of Christ was being subject and obeying the human authorities that God put into his life. Notice Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, there's something that took place in the Jewish culture that Jesus confronted. It's in the context of traditionalism, traditions that cause people to disobey God's law, God's word. Mark chapter 7, I want for us to look at a little of the context of here. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say with unwashed hands, they found fault. Now I want you to consider these are their laws, not scriptural laws. Jesus never violated the law of God, but he often violated the extra written things that the Pharisees and the scribes upheld. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. See, I don't have to wash my hands before supper, Mom. That's not what that's saying at all. By the way, if your mom says, go wash your hands for supper, you better go wash your hands for supper, because then it's a disobedience issue. This is talking about a ceremonial thing. You know, they're constantly washing their hands, ceremonial cleansing. Because then you notice it says in verse 4, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brassen vessels and of tables. Again, all this ceremonial cleansing, that's what that's all about. This was a ritual type of thing, a tradition that they had. And it says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the scriptures? Is that what the Bible says? According to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands. He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. All right? So they have these external rituals, but their heart is far from God. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, he hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. Full well, he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Right? So they're disobeying God so they can keep the traditions of men. For Moses said, all right, so here's the application of one of the Ten Commandments that they said they uphold. Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. So basically what happens here is, well, this is a gift. So the parents are needing support from their grown children. And so basically this was a thing that they did to bypass, you know, the giving of and supporting of their parents. And I guess there's various things, as I was doing some reading on this, there's various things they would do to bypass some of this. But basically what they would say to their parents is, no, you can't have any of this. I can't support you because I've dedicated it to the temple. So what's God saying here? God is saying, I'd rather you support your parents, honor your parents, than to dedicate something to the temple. Notice here, this religious practice does not let us off the hook of honoring our parents. And as I was doing some reading, I read some of the examples of some false teacher women who did not honor their parents. In fact, they even walked away from their marriage in order to preach, quote unquote, preach. I think it's interesting, you know, in the name of religion, it's amazing how many things we think we can get away with disobeying God. So again, I want you to notice there again the emphasis on honoring our parents. So even as grown children, we have a responsibility to make sure our elderly parents are cared for. Notice with me Romans chapter 1. I'm going to show you a couple of passages here that give us clear evidence of the day in which we live in relation to this one command. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. All right, so this is a summary of our wicked world that we live in. So as they've rejected God, notice it says in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. So notice in the midst of this list, disobedient to parents. Notice what God says in Romans here. That means when a child disobeys their parents, that means they are filled with all unrighteousness. Wow, that shows how serious that is. But again, this is a description of our wicked world. So again, I want you to notice here, disobedient to parents. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, would you say that we live in perilous days? It's going to get worse and worse. That's what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. They are already here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. All right, so you think about the self age in which we live. Everybody's taking selfies. I mean, that's just one of the evidences that you take these selfies. I don't take selfies because I've read that they're dangerous. People die trying to do selfies. They take pictures on the edge of cliffs so that they can show all their friends, and they fall off the edge of the cliff and die. I mean, it's like some of that stuff is stupid. But notice, lovers of their own selves. By the way, no one, Paul says, ever hated their own flesh. We have too much self-esteem. Oh, you must love yourself so you can love others. That's not scriptural. Love others as you already love yourself. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the day in which we live. It's all about me. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Thinking of boasters and proud, I think of the young man that is walking down the street. Young man in the wheelchair that I would care for, his brother was there, and this brother calls out to his friend walking down the street, hey man, what's happening? He says, you're looking at him. I'm thinking, you are arrogant. This world doesn't revolve around you. Proud, boasters, blasphemers. Notice again in the list, disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Are you thankful for your parents? Unholy, and so on. Notice that is an evidence, a sign of the perilous times in which we live. I want you to consider a very well-known passage, Ephesians chapter 6. Young people, I believe this is probably one of the best passages you can memorize. I did for my sons, so I could quote it. No. Notice here, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And let me just point out here, fathers, we need to make sure that we are honorable. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As we have a right relationship with our children, I believe it's easier for them to honor us. Notice here again the very clear command that Paul gives. And as we're going to see here, this is based on the fifth commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I want you to notice the qualification there. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So what happens if your parents tell you to do something that's in a violation of this book? For example, you're home there and you don't want to talk to somebody that's on the phone. So you tell them I'm not here. Isn't that a lie? I believe a child could respectively say, I can't lie, Dad. I want you to think about this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You notice here, you can still honor a parent and not disobey God's word. You notice here it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice this is right. So if you don't obey your parents, you're in the wrong. Honor thy father and mother. Oh, that sounds like the command back in Exodus 20. Honor thy father and the mother, which is the first command with promise. Notice he clarifies this, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So you notice here again, this command with a promise. It's going to go better in life for you if you learn to honor your parents. Why? Because if you don't learn to honor your parents, you won't learn to honor your boss. And then you lose your job. You know, a boss is only going to take some sassing only a few times before you're gone. I want you to notice here again, children, obey. This is a very clear command. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. I want you to consider here that even as grown children, as adults, there's times when we cannot honor our parents in what they believe, but we can honor them for the position they hold. I've had to experience that. What you notice here, but honor thy father and the mother, which is the first command with promise. Notice, life will go better when you do this. Also, Colossians chapter 3. This is repeated as well, in a just slightly different wording. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. All right, this is more inclusive. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I believe, young people, listen very carefully, I believe the Lord takes notice when you honor and obey your parents. I really believe. Notice, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. The Lord takes notice, and I believe he will reward you for honoring and obeying your parents. So, why is this important? First of all, it's God's command. We've already seen this both Old and New Testament. It's God's command. But I want you to consider also because of what parents do. They provide. What do you think about? I've seen some estimates of how much it takes to raise a child. Young people, I want you to think about this. You would not have anything if it wasn't for your parents. I've even heard of almost grown children living in rebellion. And their parents say, all right, if you don't want to, then get out of here. So they start gathering up. No. You only take what you bought. All of a sudden, they have no car. All of a sudden, they have no house. All of a sudden, they realize how much their parents actually provide. Thousands of dollars. And a young person has the audacity to live in rebellion against their parents when they would have nothing if it wasn't for their parents. They provide. They also protect. Not only do they protect, but they guide. They have a responsibility of guiding their children into adulthood. And that's why I believe that as a child grows and as they mature, they are to be given more and more responsibility. I really believe spanking should end at a relatively young age. It should be based on maturity level. But again, guiding them into adulthood. Why? Because they have to learn to make decisions, right decisions, as they head into adulthood. And by the way, this thought came to my mind. Back in Genesis, and talking about marriage, therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. It is of my opinion that too many times young people leave before they should. I don't believe our young people should be sent off to a college somewhere. So they live in dorms with other young people without their parents' supervision. I really believe that. Again, that's the pattern. Leave father and mother and cleave to their wife. And become one flesh. So again, I believe so many times we allow our young people. That's why I never have figured out how Christian parents can allow their young people to go off to a secular university, even living in co-ed dorms. I never have figured that out. It's like, here, hope we taught you right. But also, I want you to consider our nation's future is dependent upon this one command. Honoring parents brings stronger families. Strong families strengthen a nation. So why is it that we see our nation crumbling today? In part because of this command right here. So how can a young person dishonor their parents? Rebellion? No! I won't! That's rebellion. Disobedience. Consider also, young people, lying to them is a way you dishonor your parents. Lying to them. You know, and there's some inadvertent ways, you know, rolling the eyes. You know, the look. That's dishonoring. Sassing them and talking back to them. But here's another way that if you aren't careful, become dishonoring your parents. When you're talking to your friends about your parents, what do you say about them? God says very clearly, God didn't stutter, honor thy father and thy mother. In the Old Testament, if you didn't, you lost your life for it. That's how serious it is before God. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, even first of all, as grown children, to honor our parents. Lord, I thank you for the father and mother that you've given to me. Lord, the things that they taught me. Lord, I just thank you for the things that you used my parents to develop in my life. Father, I pray for our young people. I pray that you'd help them to understand the importance of honoring and obeying their parents. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to learn how to respond to authority. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand the importance of this command, to obey the spirit of the law and not just the letter. In Jesus' name, amen.